And so, whether you're experiencing this firsthand, whether you're here to find support for someone who is going through it and you want to know how you can help them, you want to shed some light on what postpartum anxiety is really like, what symptoms are present, then this is the episode to really listen to and take a deep dive. Am I a bad mom if? Do they know how to do this? Should I know how to do this? Why does it always seem to come so easy to everybody else? Well, hello and welcome to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kaylin Galloway, and I'm here to help you navigate the roller coaster ride of motherhood and to help conquer the mental load of postpartum. My goal is to help you to stop panic Googling, finding judgy Facebook groups, and to start to become the mother you've always dreamed you could be. In this podcast, I aim to adopt the naturopathic principle of docere, which means to teach. None of this information should be considered medical advice. As always, before you make any changes to your healthcare regimen, always consult your personal doctor. Hello, and welcome to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I'm Dr. Kaylin Galloway, and today we are deep diving into a topic that many new moms are actually really familiar with, but often feel really alone and honestly unsure, and it's postpartum anxiety. And I'm not necessarily talking about clinical anxiety. You know, I'm going to talk about this later on in the episode in more detail, but there is the emotion of anxiety that every single person has ever experienced, and then there's clinical anxiety that could be diagnosed at a physician's office. And technically speaking, the anxiety that people have in postpartum is actually not really a diagnosis. There's no diagnostic criteria specifically for that phase of life. It's the same as if you ever have anxiety. And so we'll talk about that more in a little bit. But there is a lot of stress in postpartum for a lot of reasons. You know, there's not one reason why you would be anxious in postpartum. And so whether you're experiencing this firsthand, whether you're here to find support for someone who is going through it and you want to know how you can help them, you want to shed some light on what postpartum anxiety is really like, what symptoms are present, how you can get help, that sort of thing, then this is the episode to really listen to and take a deep dive. So postpartum anxiety, the diagnosis of anxiety, and this can take the form of many different diagnoses under what is called the DSM-5 Diagnostic Manual. And this is the manual that physicians, psychiatrists, and counselors specifically come up with diagnoses that are in the realm of mental health. And I hesitate to make an episode really specifically about this because it's a very nuanced discussion of how to diagnose someone with these conditions. And it's something that you really do have to assess with a professional. So don't diagnose yourself over a podcast, over a Facebook group, over anything that is an external factor. You need someone who's actually, you know, present with you, whether that's online in a Zoom room, whether that's in an office and you're actually talking to someone one-on-one. But this is a very nuanced conversation of what is a diagnosed issue that you need more higher force help, or is this something that is normal and you just need to help finding the right coping mechanisms? Either way, it is super important that you talk to someone and figure out how to get the support you need, because even if you don't meet the criteria for a generalized anxiety disorder, whether that is something like you don't actually meet the criteria for OCD, generalized anxiety disorder, any of the other psychiatric conditions that could show up in postpartum, that doesn't mean what you're experiencing isn't real. That doesn't mean that what you feel is not worrisome, bothersome, or doesn't affect your life. And it's critical to get the help that you need before it becomes an overwhelming problem, and catching any condition before it spikes or gets to its peak or max is far easier to treat than if you were to decide to wait and continue to wait. So in terms of what postpartum anxiety really is, it's very similar in the sense of depression and postpartum depression and anxiety are fairly common. I think it's between 1 in 7 and 1 in 5, depending on which statistics you want to look at. Women will be affected by some form of postpartum psychiatric disorder. And the most common, too, are going to be postpartum depression and postpartum anxiety. And it makes sense. Annoying as it is, I have an episode, I'll link it in the show notes, describing to you the hormonal changes that occur in the female body that affect neuron firing, affect your brain function, affect hormone balances, not just estrogen and progesterone, which would be the hormones involved in helping you create the baby. They're rapidly removed after you have a baby, and so you experience this rapid change in blood volume, in secretion of bodily fluids, including sweating, lactation, discharge, and all kinds of other things that occur. And I can't go into all the details here, but there's a reason why you feel these things. Like, there's a lot going on in your body, and your body is, like, it knows what it's supposed to do, but it doesn't mean, like, you can know a situation is going to be hard, but going through it doesn't really get easy. Like, it's like you can walk in and be like, I know I'm going to boot camp for the military. But that doesn't make it easy. That just makes it like, I know I'm going to do something hard. So it's okay to be overwhelmed in this scenario. Now, for most moms, there is a period of about 2 weeks called baby blues. And this is where the most rapid changes in hormones occur. And also, the least amount of sleep occurs. And so that combination, tied with, crying baby that cries all the time, and nursing, which requires constant effort, and you're still learning. It's a huge, steep learning curve. It's crazy how quickly you have to adapt, and you keep thinking, like, I should know how to do this. This should just click. When is it gonna click? And it doesn't click. That is baby blues the first couple weeks. If symptoms keep occurring, if things keep happening, you feel stressed to the point that it affects your daily life, that it impedes your ability to provide for your child, if it leads to what I talked about in a previous episode called intrusive thoughts, if it doesn't allow you to get sleep, if it's affecting your ability to sleep, your ability to function in your day's work, like you can't actually function alone with your child. Forgive me, it is way later than I want to record this. It's 10 o'clock at night, and my bedtime is 9, y'all. I'm tired, but my son would not go to sleep tonight, and I had to get this podcast out. Like, I did all the research, I did all the work, I should totally get it out. So what are the symptoms that you can experience in terms of postpartum anxiety? Well, they can be a lot, but constant worries, feeling like you're overwhelmed, feeling like you can't really fall asleep when the baby's falling asleep. Some women have a increased desire to consume foods. Some women decrease their consumption of foods. And sometimes you'll have physical symptoms, like a panic attack is what most people would call them. But your heart rate increases, you have difficulty breathing, you feel dizzy, lightheaded, chest pain, that sort of thing can occur. If you are experiencing those symptoms, that is more of a concerning, not necessarily for your safety, but just, it really is important that you get the support you need. There's no need for you to suffer. I think there was a nurse I was watching when I was preparing for labor, and she was telling someone that, you know, there's a difference between suffering and pain. Like, there's a way different. There's a huge difference. You can be in pain and not be suffering. You can have anxiety and not be suffering. If you're suffering, then get help. And there's no shame in this. Like I said, this is a biological thing that happens. Somewhere between 1 in every 5 women have some form of issue that need more support than what our society offers, which is quite literally nothing. So it's okay for you to experience all that you're experiencing. So what are the more symptoms? Like how do you what do you know about excessive worries? Well, the most common things that I see are wanting to have a monitor on the child at all times, wanting to not go to sleep so that you can make sure that they're sleeping, being really worried about things, having intrusive thoughts more often than obviously, when would you ever want an intrusive thought? But a very often thought of intrusive thoughts, being very restless, not feeling like you can settle down or sit within the peace of having a child in your arms, feeling like you always have something you need to be done or there's never enough time to get it all done, feeling like you can't manage or cope with the simple things in life, like remembering to shower, figuring out how to shower, figuring out how to get out of the house. Also, another one, not wanting to leave the house because you're afraid of judgment. I know that for me, my son was in casts from hip to toe, bilateral hip to toe, and I knew every time I went out, I was gonna either get stares or questions. And I was not in the mood for questions. I was really not in the mood for staring, but at least I could ignore that. And the assumptions people made about my child were, we'll just not say, irate probably doesn't describe how I felt. Like, it just, when you think someone, like, when someone actually thinks that you've harmed your child because they don't understand context, they haven't asked the right questions, they haven't really thought it through, what they're asking you is really hard. And so a lot of times I didn't want to leave the house. And that really wasn't an anxiety thing. That was a, I don't want to deal with the reality of our life. I'm just going to put off putting myself in that position. So there's a difference between avoiding leaving the house because you're worried that you'll get caught without enough clothes to change into, or you won't have enough diapers, or you'll run out of wipes, or you won't have milk appropriately portioned out, or whatever the worry is. You know, you're worried about the car seat's not gonna fit right, or you won't be able to see them while you're driving, or they'll start crying when you're driving, or there's like 5,000 things you could worry about. What I'm trying to say, in a very long way of saying it, is that you are going to have these worries. These are going to be part of postpartum. And if I'm telling you this and you're saying, but I do that, but I do that, please do not start having medical schoolitis, medical studentitis, medical schoolitis. It depends on who you talk to. But the reality is, first year students in med school, first to second year med students, you're going through all these classes of what normal physiology is, and you're going through all these classes about what abnormal functions of the human body are like. You're going through all these things. And then you start to go, but I have that symptom. Ooh, that's swollen. Oh, that structure doesn't feel like that on me. And you start to think, like, oh my God, I'm gonna die. You feel it's like WebMD thinking that like toe pain is cancer on steroids. Now, when I say all these things, these are real worries that happen to mothers every single day. And that does not mean that that's not a diagnosed issue, but it doesn't mean it is. Like, it doesn't mean anything. What really happens with psychiatric disorders, and I hate the word, I hate that phrase, but that's how we say it. Psychiatric diagnosis is probably better. The thing is, they're nuanced with your specific scenario and how much it inhibits you from having your daily life. Do you feel comfortable being alone with your child beyond the whole, oh my God, I'm a mom, I'm the only one responsible, who said I could do this sort of feeling? So, like, that's even nuanced. And not knowing what to do. Now, if you are having where you're losing weight, because if you are nursing and you are losing weight, or you're not able to eat because you either forget or you're too anxious to really keep anything down, that is cause for concern because baby is going to steal all the nutrients it can from your milk. And so you need to make sure that you're having a nutrient dense diet that really does help support you in this situation. So I would definitely talk to someone about that. If you are having the panic attacks or you're having the chest pain, the heart palpitation, seriously though, if you ever have chest pain, like just go to a doctor. The heart palpitations, sweating, shaking, feeling shortness of breath, feeling like you can't handle it, like you're so overwhelmed, you can't actually keep a deep breath down. A lot of times during panic attacks, people cry. It is very common for people to assume that they're dying and feel like they're having a heart attack, that sort of feeling. Those are definitely signs that you should go get help. Not to say that you are crazy, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you need to go to a psych ward. What I am saying is go to your primary care physician, your general practitioner, if you're in a different country besides the US. Yay! You also could go to a counselor right off the bat. Because what I will say is that in terms of treatment options, one of the most studied things that can help with anxiety, depression, and pretty a large majority of psychiatric conditions is going to be cognitive behavior therapy, which is talk therapy. This is talking to your counselor, talking to a counselor about how to change the thought patterns that you're going through, how to put yourself in a way of talking things out, like changing your mindset around things, not having negative self-talk, being able to realistically and objectively look at your life instead of automatically jumping to the motions of I'm a failure of a mom because I don't know this, or whatever thought you're making the scenario mean. And cognitive behavior therapy is very clearly helpful for a lot of women, especially in this time where you don't get a sense of identity, you don't get a sense of self, because you're taking so much time to dive into this little human and you're trying to learn how to learn with them at a breakneck pace. So, what is a clear treatment plan for postpartum? Most people will start with the cognitive behavior therapies. If you're going to go see a naturopath or an alternative medicine provider, a lot of times they will try to push natural treatments, and there are a lot of herbs that can help with postpartum anxiety. Well, not necessarily, they can help with anxiety. A lot of them are not tested in things like lactation or in development of your child. They're not necessary. There's not a lot of research. There isn't a lot of research on the drugs either, but it's something to think about because it is not as regulated as pharmaceuticals. Whether that's good or bad, that's just the fact. And what I really don't want to get behind is that a lot of times when you go see someone who is a naturopath or a natural practitioner, a functional medicine physician, is they'll try to go and push you towards the natural treatments first and really adapt the fundamentals, the foundations of health. I was like going through it. What is the words I'm looking for? The foundations of health, meaning your diet, looking at how you're eating, whether it's well-rounded and whether it's you're able to get all the nutrients that you need. The second thing is adapting sleep. And the third thing is going to be making sure your environment is safe with, in terms of environmental risk factors, like where you live, what kind of pollution you're around, what is in your house, kind of other, what is stressing your body at a physiologic level. And then also using supplements and supplements as in vitamins, minerals to really help you to manage the stressors that are part of your world. And then lastly is going to be herbal treatments that herbal treatments that may help you in terms of changing your mood. Now, there are a lot of herbs that have been studied to help with anxiety and depression. Lavella, which is lavender, has been studied, and so have St. John's wort. And there's lots of studies that would show these to be very helpful with things like anxiety, depression. They do have a lot of interactions. Lavella, not so much, but St. John's wort is like known for its interactive properties, specifically with that of birth control. it does interact with a lot of other medications just because it functions directly on the molecules in the liver that clear things. And it has what is called, this is really technical, inductive properties and reductive properties. So it can increase the clearance of certain medications, but then also decrease the clearance of certain medications. So you can have medications that are not as effective because you're peeing them out more, but also you can have medications that are more toxic at that dose because you're not able to get them out as much. So these are things that you would really want to make sure that you're talking to a properly trained physician before you even start, and to really look at your whole case, because, you know, things like if you are trying not to get pregnant, it's probably not a good idea, and you're on some form of active birth control, probably not a good idea to be on something that might decrease the efficaciousness of that medication. Again, there are herbs that really do help with anxiety, depression. It's just not as researched, and also, I don't know why I say that. There's a lot of research backing St. John's wort. There's a lot of contraindications that have to be taken into account, not necessarily that it can't be used. And that is why I say it's very, very specific to each case. And the other thing is, in terms of nutrients, what I will say in terms of trying to go to a functional practitioner, naturopath, or someone in an alternative medicine space, I think it's really important to know that the foundations of health sometimes are not possible. And going to a higher force intervention, like supplementation or botanical medication, is going to help someone a lot in some cases, especially in a case where in postpartum you have a lot of fluctuations in nutrient availability because your baby is taking a lot of it. You're not actually getting a lot of the nutrients that you're eating, and so sometimes you have to do more supplementation than try to eat a salad every time you sit down to eat, because one, you don't have the time to prepare that meal as well as you did before. Even if you are really good about making things fast, it's really difficult when you're going through the chaos of cluster feeding and all kinds of other stuff that happens in postpartum. So I don't have a problem with going the pharmaceutical route, I don't have a problem going with focusing on foundations of health, adjusting nutrients, and using herbal treatments that can help you adapt this expression of anxiety. There's nothing wrong with that bout. What I do have a problem with is telling someone that they've failed, or even structuring a treatment plan as if someone has failed or is giving up if they're going towards pharmaceuticals, if they're choosing to get on an antidepressant, which antidepressants don't necessarily stop just depression. There's a bunch of antidepressants that also help with mood stabilization, as well as making sure that you're not, that also mood stabilization as well as help with anxious symptoms. And so it is really important that you focus on, am I getting better? And is it worth it to me to try a medication? Do I want to try a medication? Do I not want to? Because if you do, that's great. Go for it. Try it. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. There are consequences of being on a pharmaceutical. You know, like there are consequences. There are side effects. And they do take a while, but so does all the other treatments I talked about, and there's significantly less work involved in taking a pill than there is changing your whole diet, trying to exercise, getting sleep with a newborn. Like, have you tried that? Oh wait, not yet. It's not easy. There are a lot of things that you cannot physically fix or make as perfect as someone would want you to in this scenario, and so making sure that you actually give yourself a treatment plan that you can actually follow through with. Now, no matter what treatment you decide to go down, no matter where you go, what you do, it is always recommended. And all the studies and research show that all of these treatment options improve when they're combined with cognitive behavior therapy specifically. but in most cases, just talk therapy. Any form of talk therapy is helpful in terms of depression and anxiety. It really helps to get your brain, what goes on in your brain, out of your brain, and have a third party tell you that that's crazy. Not in a let's go to a psych ward crazy, but like, you think that all these thoughts are true, you have to believe them, they're static, they're permanent. Your brain is taught that because it's how it stores memories. And it really helps to pull thoughts out of your brain, either write them down or talk them out, talk it out, and have a third party, someone who doesn't know what they're doing, doesn't know all the details of your past and all the details of what you want. They don't know all of the details, but they know enough of what's important to you to be able to say, why? Do you need to keep that? Do you need to believe that? Is that a necessity for you? And that action alone is what's really, really helpful for a lot of people in terms of cognitive behavior therapy. But another caveat, and I, you know, mental health is so tricky. It is always really, really important to know that who you go to matters. It is not this is the example I'll give. You can go to Great Clips, and you can go to, well, is it Great Clips? There's one more. And you can get a haircut, and I put air quotes over that. And it's going to be, might be a decent one, but it might be really crappy. Like, because people they hire are straight off of graduates from beauty school. Like, they don't know what they're doing. They're following a template. And it may look really great on you because you exactly fit the mannequin they practice on. But it might also look like a wig that Lady Gaga wore in the early 2000s. Like, there's just no, there's no knowing what you're gonna get. And so, it's really important that you go to someone that you really trust, that you feel like you can actually get, not just someone who will help you feel your feelings and accept your feelings, but also push you to get better, push you to question it. And then lastly, the last thing I'll say is that allowing yourself to have therapy, to go to a counselor, to go get someone to talk to, is it gives you a chance to think about yourself and give yourself a break from this new person you're morphing into. There's like a Taylor Swift song, and I can't remember the name of it, where she talks about how, like, I'm becoming this woman, but I'm not quite there yet. Like, you're in that little in-between phase of just, like, I don't remember who I was, but I'm not really where I'm gonna be. Like, there's just not, I'm in that, like, morphing. There's, the clay has not been hardened yet. There's still little manipulations that need to occur. And that's the space where therapy is super helpful. Where talking to someone's really helpful, even if it means you have to hire the babysitter and pay for the copay at the therapist's office. It's worth it because this is the foundation that you're going to lay for your child. It's the foundation you're going to lay as a mother, as a parent. And no guilt trip has ever been said in this podcast. That's not my desire. But I will say that your mental health is the basis of your child's mental health. Because anything that you do that you don't even realize you do is going to be part of their innate model that they're going to follow, whether they like it or not. And if you don't take the time to mold that, especially at a time where it's super malleable, you might miss out. You can always change your mind. You can always work on yourself. You can always keep moving forward. And if you are too tired, mama, that totally makes sense. But if you want to keep moving the needle, if you want to be that mom that is a foundational person in your child's life forever, then you have to make the commitment to be a healthier you every single day. And part of that starts with making sure that you take care of yourself with anxiety. So, if you're experiencing any of these symptoms, at your pediatrician appointments and also at your checkups with your gynecologist is that you're going to be given a survey called the Edinburgh something scale. I should know the name of it. It's called EDSS. So I should know the name. But it is a questionnaire. It's very similar to what you would give someone not going through postpartum depression. Someone going through postpartum generalized anxiety and or depressive symptoms. And it really does have questions that are very helpful for you to answer. And my suggestion is to fill that out as honestly as you can so that they can screen you for ways that you can get help. And this is your time for you to ask. They'll give it to you at your pediatrician's appointment, and then the pediatrician is going to recommend that you go see people, that you go talk to your primary care, that you go talk to your OB-GYN. And I would not wait. I would not wait. I would go, and I would get the help I needed if you score on that in any realm of the sense. Now, I have a bias, and I know that I know which questions are really important and which questions are not as important and which questions I should definitely never say yes to. And I think you probably can guess some of them when you're taking it. But I still tried to just give an objective review of how I was so that if I really needed the help, someone would be able to tell me, hey, you need to get help. The other thing I would do also is I would talk to family members prior to postpartum, prior to really feeling this craziness, and just say, if I'm not myself, tell me. And have code words for it so that you're not, you can only say this in this scenario when I'm doing this. If I ever have this happen, it'll be my light bulb moment that I need help now. And those kind of things can be really helpful if you feel like you'll get defensive in postpartum. I know that I was very defensive. I'm fine. I'm totally fine. 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 I was really anxious postpartum. It was a lot. And I wish I had gotten a little more help with that. I was so happy to not be depressed anymore because pregnancy made me all sorts of depressed. I was so happy to not be pregnant anymore that I didn't look at those symptoms as really interfering with my life, but they did. And I wish I had gotten the help I really needed. So don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to talk to family members about how to have them intervene. The ones you trust, the ones that are not going to judge you, that sort of thing, But don't be afraid to get help. And as I said many times about this episode, it's not a matter of whether or not you feel these symptoms. It's a matter of whether or not they affect your life. They affect your daily life, your ability to sleep, your ability to eat, your ability to care and snuggle that cute little baby, your ability to shower, take care of yourself. In this moment, those are signs that you need more help and you need to figure out how to support yourself through that. It's always a good idea to reach out to your primary care, and as always, there'll be a link for the suicide hotline in the U.S. in the show notes for this episode. And I really hope that it helped enlighten your journey. I hope you have a wonderful day, and we'll see you Monday. Thank you for listening to the New Mom Naturopath Podcast. I really hope you learned something and grew during this episode. If you could leave me a podcast review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be so helpful for me. If you have any questions, email me at admin@thenewmomnaturopath.com.